Okay, so today we have the four out of the five parshas that end Sefer Shmos have to do very, very much with the building of the Mishkan. Give us all the rules, the regulations, who did it, what did it. And basically in Parshas V'yakol Pikudei, we have a Chazara, whereas in Truman Tetzaveh, it gives the Tzivoy. V'yakol Pikudei tells us, it puts us like into the excitement of what's going on when they gave the Mishkan, when they gave everything the Mishkan. We have all the Pesukim, Chol Isha Chachmas Leib, Yodea Tovu, the women did the weaving,
right.
The men did the bringing. We find a tremendous amount of enthusiasm, excitement. As a matter of fact, I heard B'Shem Reb Mendel Hirsch. Mendel Hirsch was the son of Reb Sham Shifal Hirsch, that the Haftarah for Parshas Truma talks about the Mishka, the Beis HaMikdash that Shlomo built. And it says that Shlomo hired like 150,000 non-Jewish workers to build the Beis HaMikdash, and he drafted the Jews to be involved. It was... And he contrasts the enthusiasm of the Mishkan with the fact that by the Beis HaMikdash it was more of like a professionally done thing. It's like the difference, they said in the, you know, when, in the old days when you used to like make a simcha, so everybody would get together and they would, we used to have in the colonial times called the barn raising, everybody would get together and everybody would cook for the bar mitzvah and everybody would bake and so on, and it was a family thing. It was everybody got the neighborhood, the neighbors got together, and then we went to caterers. So you sort of lost a little bit of that feeling of being participation. So he says the Mishkan was everyone was participating. Now, to be melamed Swiss and Yidden, somebody said, well, that's because they were trying to make up for their sin of the Chet Egel. So they were very, so the enthusiasm might have come a little bit from guilt. But still, you see the tremendous enthusiasm that the Yidden had, and that's something that we should look to, that we should look to try and recreate that enthusiasm. You see it pasuk after pasuk after pasuk. So let's take a look in Parshas V'yakel. Turn to page 270. It's Perek Lamed Hei Pasuk Lamed. Vayomer Maishel B'nei Yisrael. Maishel says to B'nei Yisrael, Re'u, look. Kara Hashem B'Shem. Hashem is called by name B'Tzalel Ben Uri Ben Chur Lamat Yehuda. B'Tzalel, the son of Uri, the son of Chur Lamat Yehuda. Some of the Midrashim say that how old was B'Tzalel at the time?
13.
He was 13 years old. Very good. Excellent. You got it. He was 13. So right away we have our first lesson for today is that you can start accomplishing at a very young age. You don't have to wait till the Alta Yaren. As soon as a person's young and they have the enthusiasm and if they have the capability, and we'll see what capability he had. The Yamale is the Ruach Elokim. Hashem filled him with the Spirit of God, b'chokhma, wisdom, b'tuna, u'bedas, b'chol malacha. And he was able to think, you know, thoughts. Lassos to work bazov of bekezel chayshus. This is amazing because usually a goldsmith and a silversmith and a coppersmith are different malachas. He could do all of them. Chayshus Evan, he was able to work with, very talented. He could work, somebody's like a musician who plays multiple instruments. Chayshus Evan, lamalos, chayshus eighth, lassos. And then it says in pasuk lamed vav, perek lamed vav pasuk alva, also betzal v'olyov. Then we bring in not only B'Tzal, we bring in a second person by name of Eliyav. The Torah mentions who is Eliyav. We don't mention him here in the pasuk. We mentioned previously he was from Shevet Dan. So Rashi explains why do we bring in Eliyav from Shevet Dan. So Rashi is meaning how Yerudim Shebeshvatim from the lesser of the Shvatim, Bibnei Ashvachis from the mate. V'Yishvo Hamakim leBitzal and Malachas Hamishkan, but they were equal to B'Tzal. And he was from the greatest of Shvatim, Kain Masha Nemer, Lo Necher Shua Lifnei Dal. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in Pasuk in Eoiv, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not recognize the rich in front of the poor. Because when it comes to serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everybody has a chelik in service of Hashem. Sometimes people go to Shul, and they'll see the rich person is giving a lot more money than they can give. If they give according to Hashem, doesn't look at it that way. Hashem doesn't look at it in absolutes. Hashem looks at it in how much you're giving according to your ability. So if the rich person is giving a 1% gift of his ability and the poor person is giving a 10% gift, in Hashem's eyes, the 10% is greater. So the Torah is telling us that the Torah, Dafke by the Melechus of Mishkan, took from the Yehuda, which was the greatest in Shvatim, and Don, which was the Ma'as of Chalmachas, was the back of the Shvatim, and said, you're all Chashev to me. It doesn't matter if in your eyes you might see this one above and that one below, but to me, it's all how much effort you gave into it. And if you give more effort, that's what counts to me.
Betzalel wasn't from Dan?
Betzalel was from Shevet Yehud, it says in the pasuk.
Oh, because it said from Kor. It wasn't Kor. No.
Ben Uri ben Hur, Lamati Yehuda. Straight in the pasuk. Okay. So the Rabbi Moshe Feinstein asked a question. If you take a look at this pasuk, it's a very unusual pasuk. The pasuk said, "Vayomer Moshe b'nei Yisrael." Moshe said to b'nei Yisrael, "Kar Hashem b'shem." Hashem called Betzalel ben Uri. You're just Betzalel ben Uri ben Hur Lamati Yehuda will be filled with Ruach Chachma. Why did it say the word Ru'u? Why say you should see? See, take a look, B'nai Yisrael. So Reb Moshe finds it says, Simen Shezei Yehudai. The reason it says that is to say that, to show, see that a person has a tafkid in life. That Hashem instills within each person his tafkid, his purpose. Kiloshamu baskol machrezes min hashemayim, as if a baskol came out from Shemayim, a heavenly voice came out, it said, Betzal nivchir melechas ha-mishkan. Betzal was chosen for the melechas ha-mishkan. To tell us, in other words, everybody has within themselves, people like things, everybody in this room, this one likes this one likes that, this one likes this type of music, that type of music, everybody, different type of food, that type of, everybody has different tastes. How did that happen? Because Hashem installed in each of us a difference, just like it says, Kishem Shaparts of Fame Shinais, just like their faces are different, Kach Deo Seim Shinais. Everybody has a different way of thinking in life. And some people, like Kaddish Baruch Hu, makes what we used to call, I remember when I was a kid, they used to have classes for children were called gifted. They were called gifted. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said that's a misnomer. Says Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, but Shemaim lo mechalkim atonais. In heaven, they don't give out gifts. Mishamayim manikim misimais. In heaven, they give out assignments. So when we are given, if somebody is, let's say, a person who's especially intelligent, or he's especially creative, talented artist, he has to know that that's the Kodesh Baruch Hu's way of saying, guiding him in that direction. We know the famous story of Novel, the husband of Avigail, who eventually married David, and what was his problem? As it says, he had a very good voice, and he didn't use it in the service of the Beis HaMikdash, so he was punished for that. So if a person has kelim, lamalim, b'toichan ha-rotzi, if a person has such kelim, he has to use it for that. And he says something which I found to be a little humorous. He brings the Gemara in Bava Basra, that Shvuel Nugget al Ha'itzreis, by David HaMelech and Divrei Yomim. If you ever learned Divrei Yomim, did you learn Divrei Yomim in the Pesachos? Did you learn Divrei Yomim? No. Okay, but in Divrei Yomim, it goes to all of the different people who worked for David HaMelech, long lists of names. And it says, Shvuel was Nugget al Ha'itzreis. Shvuel was in charge of the treasury, this man named Shvuel. Says Rashi, Kivin Shira David Shemam and Chaviv La Biyaser, that since they saw, the Gemara says that since David saw that he liked money a lot, this person Shmuel, he enjoyed money. That's he was so there. Benal Oitzer, so he made him in charge of the treasury. So he says, you see, he gave him everything. That's so. If you see a person is, let's say, a little bit of a violent person, so you put him in charge of the army. If you see a person likes money, you put him in charge of the treasury. You know, each person. You see a person likes to eat a lot, put him in charge of the food. Make him the head chef of the king. You know, everybody's got something to do, you know, for the king. So the same over here. So he brings a little bit of a story, but I think it's a muscle, but I guess it's a true story. He says in Paris in 1900, he says before he was born, they had the World's Fair. And the World's Fair, they used to do all sorts of, you know, interesting things. So he says, at the World's Fair, somebody made an oran. Somebody made a, I guess, some sort of a, I don't know, a box. That's, the box isn't the wrong word for it. I guess some sort of a, whatever. Something that you store things in, something which was amazingly done. It had all sorts of compartments. It had all sorts of little places to put things where you can put diamonds, where you can put jewels, where you can put everything. It was encrusted with gold and diamonds, everything. It was very, very beautiful a chest. It was a very beautiful chest that he made. And it was so beautiful that one of the gevirim that were there bought it, he says, for 8,000 rubles. So it was a lot of money. So what happened to this chest, this magnificent chest that was new at the World's Fair? The rich person lost his money. And eventually the chest went down as worthless, kamat, you know, it was one of the legs got broken, it was almost being thrown out. So a shoemaker bought it to keep his tools in, because it has also nice compartments, so you put the heels in one and the shoes in the other one, and so on. One day, the man who made this original urn comes along, and he comes to get his shoes taken care of. and he walks in and he sees the shoemaker turn to this chest behind him and put the shoes there to store. And he realized, that's my chest that I made. And he faints. The shoemaker says, what happened? He says, I made this. It was worth 8,000 ruble at one time. But now it's not worth anything anymore. It's now become shoemaker's storage bin. So he says, that's really what we all are. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us like that chest. He made us with a tremendous amount of talent, tremendous amount of latent and inherent talent. We have, the way he puts it over here, he says, Madr Chachma, he says, we have one storage basket for our wisdom, Madr Bina, one for our understanding, Madr Das, Ta Lizikorn, one for our memory, Ta Liyun, there's a room for the Iyun, Lahavonet, understanding, one for Anova, one for Yira, everything we've got. And Nebuch, we allowed it to get broken. He says, we have so much talent within all of us that we don't realize it. So the Torah Gel tells us a beautiful lesson. Re'u, look, Yidden, Karasi B'Shem B'Tzal Ben Uri Ben Hur, and I gave him all these things. And it's not just B'Tzal, but I gave every last one of you something. Each one of us has something in us that's worthy. And it's up to us to use it. He says, there's a tefillah before Yom Kippur that we say, it's called Tefillah Zaka. And the Tefillah Zaka is, we talk about our inadequacies during the year. And one of the things we say like this, Lo daich lo kidash de sevora. It's not enough that I didn't sanctify all my limbs. El timesa is somebody, but I contaminated them. Barasi b'mayu v'leiv. You made me a heart and you made me a brain. Behem chusha machshav, and I can think with that. Lasha machshavas. Taivus, to think good thoughts like Betzal, right? V'yirhurim taivim, good things. V'leiv lohavin divrei kachecha, and a heart to understand you. Vanoichi timesi son, and I never have made them tamei b'yirhurim achshavas zoros with bad things. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu always gives us the opportunity to do with all of the things, good things. Every one of us b'tzal. So it brings from Reb Chaim Shlomovitz that says the difference can be startling in what we would do with those things. It says by David and Melech, by he David l'chol drachav maskil, David was wise in everything he did. Hashem imo, Hashem was with him. So what did David do with his Hashem imo? He did wonderful things. He accomplished great things. He changed the world. There's somebody else that uses the expression Hashem was with him. You know what that pasuk is? Yishmael. Yishmael, it says, Vayihi Elokim Esanar Vayigdol. Hashem was with him. And what did he do with it when he grew up? He didn't build a base of Migdash. He didn't do wonderful things with it. V'yirai v'kashas, he used it to kill people. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with both of them. But one used it for good, and Nebuch one used it the way you're not supposed to use it. So he says, that's what we have to know, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us those kishroinus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Betzal, and he gives all of us. And we have to use it for the proper thing. And if we use it improperly, then Nebuch for us. But if we use it properly, those hidden talents that we have within us. Many people, very often, when you ask people like to become involved in a chesed, a charity, or this and that, many people's answer is, I can't. I can't do it. It's not me. So I remember, I'll give a little bit of a confession. I remember when Rabbi Yaakov Bender started Hatzalah in Flatbush in 1976, I think it was. And I was a younger man in the Mirkayu, and I sat on his row. And he asked me to join Hatzalah, one of the early members of Hatzalah. And I felt that I was too squeamish to do it, and I didn't feel that it was, I just felt I couldn't do it. But I felt so guilty about it, I went out and I was elected to found the Bikur Cholim of Flatbush instead. And I started going to hospitals, and we recruited people, and Baruch Hashem is now a big Bikur Cholim. Because I said, I have a talent, I can't say no and just say, okay, no, and I'm potter. I have to say no, but I got to do something with the no. I now I've been challenged, I have to do something with it. So sometimes you find people that when they say no, so I say, okay, I understand, can't do this, but maybe you can do something else. Yeah, but Hashem gave you some talent, so we have a chiyuv of all of us to use that talent in some way. And if we can't use the talent here because we feel that's not where my feeling is, but we must have somewhere else where we can use that talent. And that's the lesson of Re'u, of Moshe Feinstein telling us, Re'u, take a look at Betzal. I implanted him with things, and I implanted everybody with things. And we all have to try and find those things. How did our pasuk start? So we asked, as Mrs. Salem mentioned before, we mentioned Chur. Re'u, Kar Hashem B'Shem, Betzal, Ben Uri, Ben Chur, Lamati Yehuda. And the question is, we don't normally find, we mention Zaydas, right? When we call, my Einikel gets called up to the Torah, I'm gone. It's, you know, Yaakov ben Mashiachil. My son gets called up on my name, but it doesn't, we don't go up to the Zayda. So the question is, why did it say the Saul ben Uri ben Hur Lamati Yehuda?
Pinchas ben Elazar.
It says
the father and the
grandfather. Yeah, but Saul. Oh,
by us, by people it doesn't just say.
Right,
the
just
father.
Says the person, the father. The other place you write is Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, and Rashi says there's a reason why it says Aaron HaKohen, because we want to say that he was a man of peace like Aaron, and what he did was not an act of war; it was an act of peace. And he brought peace to the world, you know. So therefore, there's a reason. But each time you go to the grandfather, there's got to be a reason for it. It's like in Tanakh, it says sometimes we say the mother, and sometimes we don't mention the mother. And they say if the mother had a tremendous influence on the person, and we mention the mother if she had influence that was no gay to the Tanakh. So here, why we mention the Tzal. So we're going to say a Chiddush now, and he's going to say something which is like this is something that we're going to learn, I think, for most people the very first time. But we'll get there. So it says, Ru'u kara Hashem b'shem b'tzal ben Uri ben Hur. So says the Medrash. It's a Medrash that says, Lefi shemaser Hur nashal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because Hur was mice and nefesh. Remember, what was the story with Hur? Does anyone remember? Right. They're serving the eagle, and Hur got up and says, this is wrong. You got to stop. So Nebuch, they killed him. Shabashah Shabik said, Lazarus Egel, Omer Kenegna, when they want to make the Egel, he stood up against them. The Garbam, and he tried to stop them. Va'amdu love your goon. Nebuch, they killed him. Omer Kodesh Baruch Hu, Chayech ani pareilach. I'm going to pay you back. And he gives a marshal of the king, who somebody stood up for the king. The Medrash says he stood up for the king, and then he got killed for it. He says, I'm going to take all of your children, your grandchildren, and I'm going to make them into something. So he says, Hur was Meister Nefesh, Shal Yas Egel. Bargu, Hismana ben Beno, Lahakimus Mishkan, Shaika Paral Chategel. Because of what Hur did, so it came down to his grandchild. And he says there's an incredible lesson in this. Let's get to the lesson, but we'll say one more example that is mamish mind-boggling. Avram Avinu. Everybody assumes Avram Avinu came out of nowhere. It says Avram Avinu was phenomenal. Because of a Rambam, Avram Avinu, people used to come, he was very charismatic, people used to come to him. They'd ask him all their problems. And he would explain to them. So he brought who knows how many thousands and tens of thousands of people to do tshuva. Actually, scabs they love Allah from Ravavas, thousands, tens of thousands. Vange Anche Beis Avram. Shalsa believe a Mamun, and he put in the Mamuna, Chibur Basfarim, and he wrote Svarim. Avram Avinu was Gevaltik. So, what would you think? Avram Avinu was Gevaltik, right? He was original. He was the first, it came out of nowhere. Just Avram Avinu popped out of nowhere. Says the Mendish, unbelievable. There was some reason that Avram Avinu was so great. Listen to this. Says the Pasuk, it's a Tanit Vel Yo, and it says, the Pasuk says, a Pasuk in Yael, Yael is one of the Treyaser, my nation will never be embarrassed forever. What does that mean, my nation will never be embarrassed? I don't know. I've been embarrassed plenty of times. So what does it mean, they'll never be embarrassed? So Ma'al Le'oilam, what does it mean forever? She talking, she says that a person can do something for Kfayt Shemayim, says the Medrash, and he won't be Matzliach. He will fail. And he'll be embarrassed by his failure. And he'll feel, I failed, I don't know what to do with myself. But in Shemayim, they registered that. Somebody tried to open a yeshiva, let's say in the early 1900s, right? They opened the yeshiva, and yeshiva closed, and he had tremendous bizyonis, and they drove him Nebuch into an early grave, and he had such stars, right? So you think that's it, that's the end of the story. Says the Medrash, no. Scharo itu pulasa lefanav. His schar will always be there. Lo yevayshu ami loylan. They'll never be embarrassed forever. He might be embarrassed in his generation. But ultimately it'll come out, the good deed that he comes out will be rewarded. Because every last one of us is here because of somebody in the previous generation did something good, which led to us being here. Says the Medrash, Avram Avinu, the schus of Avram Avinu was because b'scharo shel Shem ben Noach, because there was a yid by name of a progenitor, an ancestor of Avram named Shem ben Noach. Shizdava Arvei Oshana, for 400 years he went and he tried to get people and he wasn't matzliach, it didn't work. But because of him, it didn't go for nowhere. It came out in Avraham Avinu. So Avraham Avinu came because of the Kayach of Shem ben Noach. So Shem ben Noach himself might have said, I've been trying to get through to these people for 400 years. And he commanded for 400 years, and he commanded, if I would try to get something for 4 hours, I would give up. And he's doing 400 years. 400 years giving a Musa, nothing. But Avraham Avinu came and it all was open for him because of the schus of Shem ben Noach. That's a medrash. So we see Avraham Avinu didn't pop out of nowhere, Avraham Avinu, and he says, that's the yesoid in everything. Everybody comes because somebody went and was meister nefesh, the Ribbono Shel Olam, did something good, and even though in their generation they never were able to be successful, but it's always there. And that's what the Gemara says, Medrash, in Bamidbar Rabbah, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekapeh Eschar Berya, Hashem never lets any reward go without being given. Wherever a person worked hard and gave himself over, and you should know it's going to come out somewhere. So it's a tremendous lesson for us. Tremendous lesson for us, because we often do things and we feel we failed and we get depressed, we get upset. It didn't work. I tried, let's say, to start something good as Nishka Gangan. Who knows? Once the Ribbono Shel Olam's counting, it's there. It's up there. It's on the whiteboard, waiting. Okay, so and so did a good thing. It didn't work. The Anakluch, it's going to work. The next generation is going to work. It's going to work somewhere. He tells a nice story to give over this idea. Something in the Chazanish says there was a bacher that grew up in the Shomer Hatzair kibbutz. Shomer Hatzair with the real secular, anti-religious, and so they were the real, right, the real Bundistim, right, the real social, the commies. They were the real far, you know, off the charts left side of the world. And not only that, they were rabidly anti-religious. I mean, they made the commies look like, you know, Ayav Yisrael. And they fought against Yiddishkeit terribly. The end of most of the Shomer Hatzair, as we'll see, a lot of the kids in Einikluch came back and became Balei Teshuva, Mitzvah killed them. So it says, This person, he grew up in the Shomer Hatzair kibbutz, and he came to Bnei Brak somehow, and he ended up someone Bishuv Panovich, and he loved it so much, he decided he's going to become a Baal Tshuva, and he's going to sit and learn Yeshiva Panovich. I mean, he must have been one bright cookie, because you know, he had no background. I guess he read Vrit, obviously, but you know, and he became in Panovich. So the Chazanish called over Galinsky and said, "Listen, I'm very worried about him, because in those days they were rationing, and his ration card." Yet he had to go back to his kibbutz to collect it. So I want you to get him, I want you to go to Haifa, and I want you to get him transferred so that he should be able to get it from us and not whatever. So Galinsky says, Zeh lo yakal, it won't be easy. So Chazanish says, Al davar kasha mekam schar pimeya. That's okay, you get a lot more schar, you get a lot more reward, because it wasn't easy. What's the problem? It's not easy. So it's not easy. So he didn't accept that. So he went, and he was matzliach. And the Bacher went, and Baruch Hashem became a Talmud Chacham, and there was a happy ending with this Bacher. So he said, but he, this Galinsky knew the Zayda. The Zayda came from his hometown of Krynysk, and he says the difference between the Zayda, and he says as a joke, is he says on Shabbos the Zayda sang Hashemer Shabbos Abeinu Bas, and he says, and the kids who went to the Shemer Sura, they sang Dror Yikra Levenu Bas. They sang, you know, freedom will come to them. But then the Einikl came back. Says the Chazanish. So Chazanish says, this is this medrash. Says, Kisha Aviv Galash V'Halach LeKibbutz. When this boy's father went to the kibbutz and went against his parents, so Mestam Yoshev Aviv Shivat. In those days, the father would sit Shiva on him, Nebuch. Bach V'Yishanim. And he cried, he asked the Ribbono Shel Olam. So Lebnoi Zeloi Ozer. It didn't help for this son, Sharia Bechira Nesuna, because everyone has Bechira. Alo Zel Ozer LeNechid. It helped for the Enikol. Doshid Mos Enoidus. Tears are never go to waste. That's what Chazanish said. So we see a tremendous thing that who we are, we have to be makir toiv to the free of the Kedairis, because obviously they did things that made us be here. They did things that gave us the schus of being tired of Dikki Yidin. They gave us the schus to Baruch Hashem be working. They gave us the schus to be healthy. They gave us all the schus come from them. But at the same token, we have to be aware of our achrayas, that the schusim that we're doing today will rebound, even if we're not successful in things, will go to our next generation, will go to the generations that are after us, to the people that we influence, to people who are biologically our people are our Talmidim, our children through influence, our children through biology. However it is, we all influence people, and hopefully the things that we do, whether successful or not, will accrue to the future dairus. Okay, so we have a good story. Let's go to Pirk Lamed Vav, Pasuk Beis. So we're talking about Betzalel and Aliyev. So he said, Ish chacham lev asher nosa shem chochmu svunu behema ladas lasas kol melechus avoidus hakaydish l'chol asher tziv Hashem. Pasuk Beis. V'yikr maishel Betzalel vel Aliyev. V'al kol ish chacham lev asher nosa shem chochmu believe that Hashem gave wisdom in their heart. Kol asher nesol libo l'karva el hamalacha. Who gave in their heart to come close to the malacha, lasososa, to come close to do the malacha. So, you know, do you notice, I mean, even in my little reading here, you notice a lot of repetition going on? There's a lot, again and again, I gave chachma, and they did, and they did. So each one, if you look in the Mefarshim, there's no such thing as extra. Everyone's teaching us a lesson. So in the Rav Mordechai Kamenetsky, we say two things over him. So the first thing he asks, what does it mean, lakarva, to get close to the malacha? What does it mean to get close? You could just, the pasuk could have said, kolash and soul libay. That's it. So if you want to say it, to do it. Everyone who decided to do it. What does it mean to be karvel a malacha? So he tells a story by Rishach. Rishach is one of those who has an incredible amount of stories. All good. Mir Hashem will have, of course, we'd like to do the Rishach Agada when we get closer to Pesach. Maybe they have a Rishach Megillah, I don't know. But he always has wonderful stories. So Rishach, it says he always had long lines outside. I think one time I went. And there's always long lines, true. There's always long lines. So there was a certain prominent person that came to talk to Rishach about an important thing. So he says, before going in, he noticed a father clutching the hand of a school-age child no more than 11 years old. So the child's father turns to this important person, and he says, please, sir, it's difficult for my child to sit still in class. The Gemara seems to borrow him, Nebuch. Please let me enter before you. I just want a quick brach from the Rebbe that my son should develop an interest in Torah learning. So it seemed innocuous enough. So the important person said, okay, you know, it'll take 5 minutes. You know, I'll do him a favor. Why should he sit there with his son? I want to be able to go in there with a clear head, and I know they're going to be sitting outside waiting with the kid jumping up and down. So he said, okay, let him go in. 45 minutes later, they come out. So by this time, he's like, you know, what happened? And he calls him, what happened? 45 minutes? So he said, the father of the baruch began to explain. We entered the room expecting a bracha and a handshake. Rav Shach told us that we didn't need his bracha. He asked my son what he's learning. He took out the Gemara and sat down with him. He learned the Mishnah with my son until he understood it. Then Rashi, then Gemara, then more Rashi, until they were in an excited conversation together. And then the boy went out with appreciation for Torah that never went away from him. He says, when you build a Mishkan, it's difficult. It's very hard to build a building. I don't know if you've ever heard construction workers talking to each other. They're always frustrated. Things don't go the way you want. He says, but if you're karavel amalach, if you bring your heart near to it, and you say, this is something you want to do, that gives you the energy to get through the tough spots, to get through the rough spots. That's the karavel amalach. So when it says in the Pasuk, le karavel amalach, to get close to the malach, that's what it means to get close to the malach. To say, first, the first thing before you do is, yeah, I want to do this. You know, when you have a difficult job in front of you, first thing you know, if you have a big test, what is the first thing you do? You're saying a shir. What's the first thing? You psych yourself up, right? This is going to be good. We're going to say a good shot today. People are going to like it. You know, it's the same thing. L'karvel malach. He says the first thing you have to do is you have to psych yourself up. Then you're ready to do the malach, and that's the lesson. That's what Shach was teaching us: is that first you have to be into it. When you're into it, everything else comes together. Pasuk Zion. Famous pasuk. It's not only so famous a pasuk that's part of the, it's part of our lingo, right? When we talk yeshivish, it's part of the lingo. It says in the pasuk, "Vamalacha yisadayim lechol hamalacha." The malacha was enough for everything. Lasso to do it, v'hoiser, and it was even more. And there's an expression that goes, "Dai v'hoiser." time to walk up. It says, there's an expression when we suddenly say something's Dai V'Heiser. What does Dai V'Heiser mean? It's enough? It's even more than enough. So the people, it says it a few times here in the Torah, it says one Dai V'Heiser that they came and they gave, and that Maisha saw was Dai V'Heiser. It was enough and even more than enough. And then it's several here, they did the Malacha, and it was Dai V'Heiser. It was enough. V'Heiser is even more than enough. So the question he asks is, what is this expression, enough and more than enough? If it's enough, it's not more than enough. If it's more than enough, it's not enough. So what does it mean, it's enough? Why did you, it's enough and it was more than enough. What is the expression to say that it's more than enough? So he tells over, this is a very interesting shot. He tells a story, as he often does, from President Kennedy. He liked President Kennedy. So President Kennedy, like he says, liked to tell the story of a small manufacturing town of Fall River, Massachusetts. They had an election for mayor. An election, it was a hard-fought election. You know, we don't have to tell you now, it's a good time to talk about election. You know what it means to have election. Everyone's holding sugar, they're all explaining it, everyone's canvassing and so on. Anyway, in the end, it was so close to the election, it took weeks until they got the final tally, and it was won by one vote. Which, by the way, Agav, you know, a commercial for the Aguda, it's very important to vote. If you're not registered, please register, you can vote in the election. So it says it took days to clear, weeks to confirm. It confirmed. The winner of the mayor was one vote, but the winner's jubilation was muted only days after the result were declared. You see, everyone in the town reminded him, it was my vote that got you to be mayor. So he said, if you have two votes, so nobody can say it's my vote. But it was one vote, they all said it. So he said, if it had just been enough for the Mishkan, just enough, everybody said, I built the Mishkan, and there would have been a certain guy involved. So the Torah says, Dafka was the heiser, was even more than they needed. So nobody should be able to go and boast and say that I'm the one who built the Mishkan. He says, when we face extreme situations, we contribute to the positive resolution. It's important to realize we are only messengers. Hashem wants success. It will come without us as well. It's Hashem, because we shouldn't think it's us. In that vein, contribution will be even more pure, have every good attribute, only missing one ingredient, missing a false sense of conceit. It will not be enough, it will be more. So we have the nice little shot in the Indian of Dai V'Heiser. And finally, we don't want to be Dai V'Heiser, but we'll say one more thing. So at the end of the parsha of Pikudei, and this is the last psukim that end the entire Sefer Shmais, and we sadly, as we always do, we go sadly away from Sefer Shmais. There's an interesting last two psukim which seem to be out of place. Take a look in your Chumash, page 276 in the Mafter. So it says, 284. It says, "Vayichas ha'anan as oil mayid." They covered the oil mayid. "V'lo yachol ma'isha love al oil mayid ki shachin alav ha'anan." He couldn't go in because the anan was there. "Kfayt Hashem malei as a mishkan." Okay, that would sure l'chayra be the end of Parshat Pekudei and Sefer Shmos. Now comes two more psukim. What's the next two psukim say? "Obahalas ha'anan me'al mishkan." When the anan went up from the mishkan, Yisub bnei Yisrael. The Bnei Yisrael used to go on their journeys. And if the Anan did not go, they didn't go up until the Anan went up. Why do we need the two psukim, Yasser Glinsky, that should come right in the middle and tell us about traveling when the Anan went? They're like technical psukim. We're saying the Anan was built, the Mishkan was built, everything is great. So why are we in the middle of the pasuk talking about travel back, we travel here, travel there? That belongs in parshas, in other parshas, belongs when we're talking about the parshas Masai. So why are we bringing it over here? So he says that we know when is Golus and when is Geula. He says Sefer Shmais is called the Sefer of Golus and Geula because we have Geula. Says the Ramban, Geula is not when we left Mitzrayim. You know when Geula is? It's not even when we came in there at Sol. Geula is when we were together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and getting the Torah and the Mishkan. When we're together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's Geula. As a matter of fact, they say that the Tzaddikim have Geula even today. Because if you're totally with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're not in Geulas. Geulas is the being away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we're together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then that's not considered to be a Geulas. That's considered to be a Geula. And it's very interesting. We talk about where we traveled. So there's an interesting halacha in the Beis Hamikdash. There's a thing called Melechus Seisr is Asr B'Shabbos. You're not allowed to destroy on Shabbos. Now the story is saying, when is it Osir Midoraisa? Only you're going to build it back in the same place. And I'll take a wall to put a wall back in the same place. Put it somewhere else, it's okay. Where do we learn it from the Mishkan? Because the Mishkan, they tore it down and they pulled it back up. But the question is, when the Mishkan, they took down the Mishkan, they took it down here, and they put the Mishkan back, they put it back over here, in a different place. So why is that a riot that to Saiser, to tearing down and putting back into place? So I remember once heard, and we said this from Blazer Horowitz, he said he was on a plane to Los Angeles, he spoke at one of our Shabbos in Los Angeles, and he said across him was sitting a mother with a baby. And he was thinking to himself, is that baby traveling from New York to Los Angeles? No. That baby is traveling in his mother's arms. That baby is always there. He doesn't care. The baby has no idea. He never heard of New York. He never heard of Los Angeles. He doesn't know where he's going. He never heard of an airplane. He knows his mother. That's it. He says, that's the pshat in our relationship. If our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu is we feel we're with Hashem, then we have gula. If we feel we're farther from Hashem, then we have gulas. So the Torah is telling us we built a Mishkan. And that's fine. But only if the Mishkan is something that's in our heart and goes with us everywhere. And therefore the Pasuk tells us when the Mishkan, on the Alam Mishkan, Yusuf and Yisrael, Chomasim, they're going to wherever they go, they're always going to Rivayin Shom. And I was thinking, as a man, I need minyan wherever I go. And I travel. So you travel around, so the first thing you do in every city you go to, you look where's the shul, because you have to get the minyan. We're traveling. It doesn't matter what city it's in, I need a shul. So am I going to that city or am I going to shul? I don't know. Really, I'm going to the shul in that city. That's the main place I have to be. So the person looks and he travels with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all of his journeys. That's where he has to be. And that's ultimately what all of Sefer Shmos is about. Sefer Shmos is telling us about the Gula. It's telling about the redemption. We're going out of Mitzrayim where we were so far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And maybe that's what Memtesh Shari Tumah is. Just being far, 49 steps away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We now come to a Mishkan. We come to a Torah. And then we're close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's only when we keep a Kodesh Baruch Hu Vosli Migdash Shechanti Besochem, we make a Migdash that dwells in our hearts. We have a Kodesh Baruch Hu in our hearts, then we always have Gula, then we're never in Golas. Halavai, the Ribbono Shel Olam help that we should come to the Madregas that we talk about of feeling Kodesh Baruch Hu in our heart and never have a Golas, it'll always be Yimiyachim HaGula, and then we should be Zaycha to the Gula Shlema. So we finish Parshas Pekudei V'Yakel Pekudei, it's Parsha Shkolim, so we're getting already close to Purim, we're getting close to Pesach Mi'Hashem, so Be'ez Hashem next week we'll begin to talk about a little bit about Purim and get ourselves into the Purim spirit. We'll all have a good Shabbos and a good Tiyar. Yeah?
You said Shlomo HaMelech been hired not just to do it.